Welcome to Red Meat, a collection of the tastiest tidbits from Odyssey's conservative news talk radio stations across the country, a place where we're not afraid to dig in. Let's kick off the weekend with conspiracies, theories, and otherwise, about former President Barack Obama, Jeffrey Epstein, Donald Trump, and whether the DOJ is dragging its feet about releasing the Epstein files because they could compromise an ally government. First up, Obama. Annie Fry discusses revelations about the former president and Russia made by Tulsi Gabbard.
We know that whole hoax, that the actual investigative participants, the people who are in charge of looking into what's happening in these regards, we know that they did a report, a full analysis of that election, and they said Russia didn't do anything here. Nothing of what we're talking about. There is no partnership with Donald Trump to try to flip this election. It didn't happen. We know that Barack Obama said, redo that report and give it to me with Donald Trump's participation in it.
Yeah, lie to me.
Yes.
So that I can lie to everyone.
Under President Obama's direction.
Continuation of the witch hunt. The witch hunt that you should be talking about is they caught President Obama absolutely cold, Tulsi Gabbard. What they did to this country in 2016, starting in 2016, but going up all the way going up to 2020 in the election. They tried to rig the election and they got caught. And there should be very severe consequences for that. You know, when we caught Hillary Clinton, I said, you know what? Let's not go too far here. It's the ex-wife of a president. And I thought it was sort of terrible. And I let her off the hook. And I'm very happy I did. But it's time to start after what they did to me. And whether it's right or wrong, it's time to go after people. Obama's been caught directly. So people say, oh, you know, a group. It's not a group. It's Obama. His orders are on the paper. The papers are signed. The papers came right out of their office. They sent everything to be highly classified. Well, the highly classified's been released. And what they did in 2016 and in 2020 is very criminal. It's criminal at the highest level. So that's really the things you should be talking about.
President Trump speaking today from the Oval Office. I believe he was there with... Is it the president of the Philippines? Is that what he's referred to?
Oh, I don't know the answer to that.
So they have these bilateral meetings in the Oval Office or whatever, and I think that he's here to talk trade deals. I heard President Trump talking about how, oh, we're not quite there with the deal because he's a really strong negotiator. He loves the Philippines, and he's negotiating really hard. And I'm like, don't pat him on the head. Just reach over and pat, pat. So the Philippines guy is just sitting there like that, and he's going into Russia collusion, but this is his opportunity to control the narrative, and he always does. Meanwhile, you look around what the president has been able to do, actual policies that have been put into place, because I think that when people voted for Donald Trump, they wanted his policies, but they also wanted to give the proverbial bird to the deep state, to the system, the thing that, like, it's the, if the American people get this wrong, we'll step in, which may or may not be what happened in 2020. The more these investigations start to produce documents with the FBI and the Director of National Intelligence, Tulsi Gabbard, having access to expose these things, the more I want to know what happened in 2020. And I have been publicly very cautious on saying out loud, Donald Trump won the 2020 election and they stole the election from him. I've never really been that person before. I think that they changed the rules. This is what I've said the whole time. I still think this is the case, but I'm kind of like trying to peek around the curtain a little more to be like, is there? Because there's a there everywhere else. Everything else that has been alleged against Donald Trump, we are finding out that the deep state or the Democrats or the structure, that they've all been doing the very thing they're accusing Donald Trump of, which is why I was kind of talking about this yesterday, but I didn't really go in hard on it. Remember that Tulsi Gabbard ran for the Democratic nomination to be the president of the United States. She was running as a Democrat because she was serving as a Democrat from the state of Hawaii. She's maybe the most prominent Republican to ever come out of Hawaii at this point.
I guess she is a Republican.
Yes,
now,
she
isn't
is. She became a Republican in the campaign.
That's right.
Maybe in like October,
it was,
but she did
close. Yeah,
yes.
She was independent.
Because like RFK Jr., he's not a Republican.
I don't think so.
I don't even know that he's not a Democrat.
I think he's just independent.
I think he might still be a registered Democrat. He was going to run as an independent, but I'm regardless, he's still a Democrat.
Yeah.
Like in the majority of policies he has, he's a Democrat, and he's said many times, Donald Trump and I sat down and he saw what I wanted to do with our food system, with our health system, and we agreed wholeheartedly on that, and we decided to set the other things aside. Now that's an American partnership right there. Not only did Tulsi Gabbard run to be the president of the United States on the Democratic side of the ticket.
Yeah. You and I have approached 2020 differently and the election. Yeah. I think both of us have had our suspicions, but both approached it carefully. You know, we're on the air. We got to be careful with what we're sharing and making sure that we're sharing facts and not fiction. But I've said for a long time that the only way you're really going to find out whether anything truly was big and nefarious, because there's always stuff, but was there a big, big coordinated movement to steal an election? The only way you're really going to find that out is if you have a whistleblower who's going to tell you from behind the scenes, this is how that happened. And I think we're getting to the point now where there's such hard evidence, not about that, but about this stuff with Obama and the Russia collusion hoax. And it goes so high up. I mean, to the president of the United States, Barack Obama.
I thought you said Russia collusion hoax. But that kind of tracks.
I almost did. That when you start to unravel that ball of twine, I think you are going to have whistleblowers that come out of who are going to say, "Wow, this is a big deal. You really do have us here." Because it's pretty airtight that maybe if there's anything else, and I'm not saying there is, but if there's other things, this could be how you find out the other thing.
I look at the cast of characters who have been implicated, like the big names, and I'm trying to think of if any of those would be willing to flip. I don't think any of them will.
Mm-hmm. Not the ones we know.
No.
No, they're too embedded.
Here's before we wrap here, this is another thing that President Trump said from the Oval Office today, and he uses the T word. Let's listen into his answer to the question.
Target as part of their investigation. What specific figures in the Obama administration?
Well, based on what I read, and I read pretty much what you read, it would be President Obama. He started it. And Biden was there with him, and Comey was there, and Clapper, the whole group was there. Brennan, they were all there in a room, right here. This was the room. This is much more beautiful than it was then, but that's okay. I have nice pictures up. They came out of the vaults. They were in there for 100 years. This is much more beautiful. We have the Declaration of Independence now in the room, which wasn't here. I guess people didn't feel too good about putting it here, but I do. But you know what? If you look at that, those papers, they have them stone cold, and it was President Obama. It wasn't lots of people all over the place. It was them, too. But the leader of the gang was President Obama, Barack Hussein Obama. Have you heard of him? And except for the fact that he gets shielded by the press for his entire life, that's the one they look. He's guilty. It's not a question. You know, I like to say, let's give it time. It's there. He's guilty. This was treason. This was every word you can think of.
Treason, he says.
Here's the always fiery Tara Servacius from WORD Radio with more on Tulsi and Trump's talk about Obama. Could he actually be arrested?
Obama's been caught directly. So people say, oh, you know, a group. It's not a group. It's Obama. His orders are on the paper. The papers are signed. The papers came right out of their office. They sent everything to be highly classified. Well, the highly classified's been released. And what they did in 2016 and in 2020 is very criminal. It's criminal at the highest level. So that's really the things you should be talking about.
You bet it's criminal at the highest level. You bet it is. And so you see the desperation by the deep state, by the Obama crew, but also by the media to cover this up. And all they've got is Epstein. Epstein, Trump. So let me give you an example of what they're doing, because you're going to hear this from your friends and family, especially low information folks. Let me just give you a sense of what's out there this morning and how they're doing this. And it's very crooked. It's a woman by the name of Maria Farmer. She worked for Epstein. Not in the usual way, believe it or not, even though she was underage. She was the first woman. She was among the first women to report Epstein and his partner Maxwell and accused them of sexual crimes back in 1996. And at the time, among a very long list of people associated with Epstein, she identified Trump, among others close to Epstein, as worthy of attention. She's all over the media yesterday. If you look at the headline that kicked this off, this round of it anyway, she's been around for years. She's been running her mouth for years, but they're acting like she's new. This is in the Guardian headline. Jeffrey Epstein accuser urged FBI to investigate Trump decades ago. Oh, no. Well, what does this woman have? Well, you read through here. Farmer's account could indicate in what context Trump's name may appear in unreleased Epstein-related files. And what context is that? Well, she was working for him. She was very young. She was working for him as his secretary. She gets called to the office last minute. She runs in shorts. Trump shows up, she claims. This is her story. Who knows if it's true? Trump shows up. It's one night, 1995. She's summoned to Epstein's offices in the luxury building in Manhattan. She arrives in running shorts. Trump turns up wearing a suit. Farmer says she felt scared as Trump was hovering over her, staring at her bare leg. Well, you're wearing shorts. Epstein entered the room and she recalled him saying to Trump, "No, no, she's not here for you." The two men left the room and Farmer said she overheard Trump commenting that he thought she was 16 years old. Farmer told the Times that she had no further... Let me read this part. Farmer told the Times that she had no further alarming interactions with him and never saw him engage in inappropriate conduct with other girls or women. She was Epstein's secretary. So isn't this article a nothing burger? Yeah. I mean, you got, this is what they do. You got to read two thirds or three quarters of the way down. No evidence Trump did anything. Person involved, despite the scintillating headline. Let's read the headline here again. Jeffrey Epstein accuser urged FBI to investigate Trump decades ago. It sounds like, oh, no, I knew he was abusing girls. No, but what's the truth? You get into here. Well, I'm the secretary. I was there every day. I saw the women and young girls come and go from the Manhattan building. Oh, you did? Cool. Did you ever see Trump with any of them? Well, no, actually, I didn't. Farmer told the Times, this is a quote, Farmer told the Times that she had no further alarming interactions with Trump and never saw him engage in inappropriate conduct with other girls or women. Now, why isn't that the headline? Because they have nothing. They don't have anything. But that's okay. It's drip, 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 drip. Death by a thousand cuts. They know most people won't read three quarters of the way through there. And by the way, why would they include that line anyway? Why not just lie the way they used to? Well, because Trump just won another $36 million from CBS because of their lies. They're actually beginning to be made to pay for their lies. So they actually, the good news is they have to tell the truth in some of these Epstein articles they're running. It's just they bury it so far down, they hope that you won't notice, but also that Trump can't sue them. And this is the game they're playing. So this is how this goes, okay? Then CNN turns around and has this Maria Farmer, who has nothing other than, I never saw him do anything untoward or inappropriate, and I was the secretary. I was there every day. Yeah, I saw Trump, but I never saw anything. I never saw him act inappropriate to women. I never saw him with the women. I never saw him with the girls. Now, listen to the way that CNN frames this last night when Erin Burnett has her on, as if this is a new bombshell.
First of all, I'd like to thank you for having me on, Erin. I really appreciate it because I need to say up front that I've waited three decades to be able to even be heard.
Wow. So Trump's kept her down all this time. She's been terrified. No. Google it. She's been doing interviews for decades, but she doesn't have anything, so most people don't talk to her. Hold on with the music, because I got to finish with this. Laura Ingraham saw her, you know, Fox News host. Laura Ingraham saw Maria Farmer on CNN. Oh, I've been waiting decades to tell you my non-story about Trump. I saw him one time when I was wearing shorts and he looked at my legs. And? Well, he seemed creepy. And? You ever see him with women, girls, young? I mean, you were there every day? No. You ever see him do anything inappropriate? No. So he looked at your legs when you were wearing shorts. That's what you got. And he hung out with Epstein, but didn't do anything inappropriate. You know, I've been waiting decades to tell my story. Except she has had chances to tell her story. Here's Laura Ingraham on this same woman.
This is an important note. 2 years ago, one of my producers booked her on actually Jesse's show and spoke with her attorney for 6 months before that. But at no point during any of those conversations or during her interview with Jesse was Trump mentioned. But she was waiting 3 decades to tell her story? That does not make any sense.
Yeah. But this is you know what? When you promise the public, hey, we're going to release it all. It's on the corner of my desk. And then you're like, ah! What Epstein files? We're not any Epstein files. Everything's cool. Let's forget this whole thing. By the way, he also killed himself. See, look, we got a video. Oh, that video doesn't actually focus on Epstein's cell. You mean the path to Epstein's cell? There is no video for it. Why did you tell us the video proves? And this is what Bondi did this. It was a double tap on Trump. It really was. Why'd you tell us, hey, he killed himself and here's the video proof? That video not only doesn't prove anything, it's a joke. It looks like a cover-up. You know what I want to know about, where's Susie Wiles? What does she do? She's the one, she's chief staff. She's the one who's supposed to be running the circus. Did nobody here go, hey? Because, I mean, when I saw the video come out, I went, didn't Bill Barr, because remember, Bill Barr was running the whole federal prison system. Didn't he admit that the video strangely and conveniently went out, the one that was focused on Epstein's door the night of the suicide? I mean, that's fact. It's been reported by the New York Times. Why are you telling us you have video when you don't have video? And why are you taking the great leap to, oh, and he didn't kill himself? He did kill himself because we don't have anyone coming or going, when you know darn well that video doesn't cover his cell. It covers a supply closet in somebody else's cell. Extra writes, if you were so paranoid about your legs, why are you wearing shorts? Well, she just come back from a run where she was running in shorts. Folks, I just bring you the news. I don't know. But folks, this is what they're doing. And if you put in Epstein Trump right now and see what the mainstream media is doing, every headline reads like this. And every story comes to the same BS conclusion. He did nothing. I saw nothing. I never saw him do anything inappropriate, but he made me feel creepy. It's basically the gist of that. But I'm telling you, drip, 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 drip.
House Speaker Mike Johnson, a Trump-supporting Republican, dismissed the body he runs early yesterday and sent them on their way for a one-month summer break when the Democrats tried to force them to vote on releasing the Epstein files. That begs an obvious question. Why? Also, let's check up on the conspiracy theories surrounding Epstein's death with Rich Zeoli at WPHT Radio.
What I don't understand is they're saying that Ghislaine Maxwell is going to testify, but Speaker Mike Johnson is saying he's going to block any votes to put out the Epstein file. So I'm confused by all this. I really don't quite understand it, and I'm trying to understand this and figure out, because we don't want to be the party that looks like we're covering up for Jeffrey Epstein. So I'm hoping we'll get some clarity on that. And yeah, we'll get clarity and we can understand exactly what's happening. But in the meantime, if Ghislaine Maxwell talks to Congress, great. She wants to talk. She wants to be heard. She wants to say things. She wants to tell her side of the story. Alan Dershowitz is out there saying there's no way that if Epstein killed himself, he had to have help. He had to have help, and that's because he couldn't have done it by himself. That's obvious. So then does that count as suicide? If somebody helps you, is that an assisted suicide? Is that still murder or not? I don't know. Try to get a handle on that as well. And then, of course, there is the question of whether or not we're going to get answers regarding this connection to the deep state with Comey, Brennan, Clapper, and all these other scumbags who were behind the Russia collusion and the hoax. And if this is just to distract us from Jeffrey Epstein not killing himself or killing himself with the help of other people in an assisted suicide. Prison guards are not supposed to help prisoners commit suicide. I'm just making that point clear. This is not like a doctor who gives you a bunch of pills to eat and then, you know, you die. It's got to be more than that. If the guards are going to help you commit suicide, then that's a crime. And then if they've committed a crime, then we need answers on that too, because the purpose of a guard is to make sure that you don't kill yourself in jail, especially if you're a high profile person like Jeffrey Epstein. So if what the Dersh is saying is correct, that Epstein killed himself but had help killing himself, that means then that the guards broke the law. I don't think they would just do this out of the kindness of their heart. Like, I don't think they're sitting around playing poker and one of them's like, you know, Epstein wants to off himself. Let's give the guy a hand. He's had a rough life. Let's go do this, huh? Should we help him out? Yeah, why not? Let's do it. I mean, granted, we could lose our careers, go to prison, but we know the camera changes over, and so we have a minute. We can go in there and help him off himself and then act like none of this ever happened. I know there's a debate about whether it's the smell test or the sniff test. I believe we settled that debate, and it is the sniff test. In my mind, that does not pass the sniff test any more than Ozzy Osbourne dying was because at one point he ate a bat and that bat had COVID. Because that's not how any of us got COVID. I never had it. Thank God, knock on wood. I apparently am immune, but nobody got COVID that way, including Ozzy Osbourne. So if they blame his death on that, that would be a leap. And that wouldn't surprise me either. You know, if the health industrial complex came out and said, all those times Ozzy Osbourne ripped the heads off bats is why he died, and COVID was living in his system, and one day it just got him, I would have a hard time believing that, too. There's a lot of things I don't believe these days. As you can tell, I'm getting increasingly cynical in my not old age. But nevertheless, getting increasingly cynical. But let's go back to Epstein for a moment. So Alan Dershowitz is like, yeah, he probably killed himself, but had help from other people. Okay. Those people would be people that are guards at a prison or jail. Their job is not to help prisoners off themselves. It's the opposite, is to make sure that people, particularly high profile people like Jeffrey Epstein, don't. Which means then somebody gave the okay to these guys to do it, which means then that he was murdered. Because if you sign off on a suicide, that's the same thing as killing the guy. In my opinion, it's the exact same thing. There's no difference in that. If I let you kill yourself because you're a prisoner in a jail cell, if I let you do that, then I'm complicit in your death. And in which case, then I'm an employee of the state, which means then that the state has then facilitated in your death, which you could call a murder or a cover up or whatever else you want to call it. Because assisted suicide for prisoners is not an option currently. It may be in Canada. I don't know. It seems like in Canada, everybody's allowed to commit assisted suicide there. So it's entirely possible that that's the case. By the way, we are a week away from our big event with Giano Caldwell, Fox News superstar, all around amazing guy. And our Politics and Pints is going to happen on Thursday, July 31st at the Zlock Performing Arts Center in Bucks County Community College in Newtown, PA. You don't want to miss this, but we are going to have a pair of tickets to give away a little bit later in the show. But I want you to join us for that. Politics and Pints, go to 1210WPHG.com and do it now and get your tickets, and you can join us for what's going to be an incredible night with a great conversation, an unforgettable evening with a rising star at Fox News, whose book President Trump emphatically, enthusiastically endorsed. But let's begin with Alan Dershowitz talking about all this, because, you know, I'm trying to understand this too. I'm trying to understand exactly how this would play out. But he was talking to Eric Bolling about this, I believe, on Newsmax, maybe Newsmax. I don't really know. I try to avoid listening to the news as much as possible these days, unless I have to do it for the show, which, of course, obviously I have to do for the show. It's kind of in the job description. Anyway, here's the Dersh, cut 14.
Alleged to have transported women across state lines for immoral purposes, the same crime that Sean Combs was recently convicted of. And that's why he pleaded guilty, by the way, only to two counts of one young woman above the age of consent, one young woman a few months below the age of consent. There were only two of them. There were state charges. He pleaded guilty. He got 18 months and had to register as a sex offender. He was never convicted of any federal offense or multiple actions, although he was accused later on. He was in jail awaiting trial when he, I think, killed himself with the help of jailers. I don't think he could have done it by himself.
Okay. I don't think he could have done it by himself. So that means he had the help of jailers. Jailers being people that are paid to make sure that prisoners don't kill themselves. Okay, that makes absolutely no sense then. to the idea that he killed himself all by himself. In which case, then we gotta go deeper on this whole issue, and then maybe that's why Ghislaine Maxwell. I guess Ozzy Osbourne really had an impact on Fox News because they have not stopped covering, or maybe it's just a slow news day. I don't know, but they're still going on about rock legend Ozzy Osbourne dead. And don't get me wrong, I'm sad. Like, I loved Ozzy Osbourne. I was a huge Black Sabbath fan growing up, and I loved his music, and I never got to see him in concert. But and I didn't really watch the show with him and his wife Sharon, but. Yeah, they really loved him over there. So they brought Kennedy out to talk about it. So anyway, if you're that interested in Ozzy Osbourne, definitely tune in to Fox News. It looks like it's going to be coverage of that for most of the day today, which gets us away. Well, now they're going back to Jeffrey Epstein. And not Ozzy Osbourne. So I'm assuming when things like this happen, a lot of people take a deep breath and go, oh, thank God we can talk about something else besides the depressing news of the day, including Jeffrey Epstein killing himself or having help killing himself. I don't know. But Ghislaine Maxwell. So she's in prison right now, even though we're told the whole thing is kind of a hoax. She doesn't want to be in prison. She's appealing her conviction and she's ready to talk and she's ready to spill the goods and she's ready to say all these things. Okay. Pam Bondi says they're going to talk to her. Congress wants to talk to her, but at the same time, Speaker Mike Johnson now is saying he's blocking a vote on releasing the Epstein files. And I don't know why we would want to be the party that covers up for Jeffrey Epstein here. It's a bad look, and it's a look that's making Trump supporters very, very unhappy. And what I mean by that is I know that there is this idea that there's the social media world and then there's the real world and the two worlds are different. And I get all that. And I don't disagree with that. But I also believe, as I've been saying, we want heads on pikes, to quote Miranda Devine from the New York Post. We want heads on pikes. We're not getting heads on pikes. We need heads on pikes. So unless we actually get people who did all these things to us, lied about Russia collusion, invented this hoax, tried to bring down a president, lied to us about COVID, created COVID in a lab, locked us down and did all these horrible things. Unless we get some vindication here, unless we get some people behind bars, we're not going to be happy. And worse than that, a lot of people are going to tap out. And I'm sorry, it's not just people on social media who are ranting and venting about this. It's people that don't even have Twitter accounts and Facebook accounts who are driving around and they're angry that it seems like the deep state keeps winning. And okay, they release the MLK files. Okay, great. All right. So the MLK files are released and what, the CIA may have been involved in killing Martin Luther King like they were involved in killing Kennedy? Fine. If that's the case, then somebody please get justice for something. Something, okay? We're all at the breaking point now of losing our patience because we have watched them all get away with it for so long. And we're being patient. We're 6 months in. I'm not saying we've lost patience, but I'm saying, if we're going to come out and have another bombshell like Tulsi Gabbard gave us over the weekend, this better not turn out to be the Epstein binder bombshell, which Pam Bondi gave us a few months ago. You remember how angry everybody was when Pam Bondi came out and said, look, here are the Epstein files. We got them all. It's on my desk. Here are the binders. Let me bring influencers like Rogan O'Hanley, known on social media as, whatever his name is. I forget exactly. DC Drano, I think. Here's your binder. Jack Sobiak, here's your binder. Go at it. Go get it. And then we get him got. Tulsi Gabbard over the weekend dropped major bombshells regarding Russia collusion and how this was all made up. And it was and Comey and Brennan and Clapper and Obama and all these other people were there. Okay, fantastic. Great. We're putting all this out there. Then something needs to happen with this, and we all need to be able to get justice here because we're getting frustrated. And the people that get frustrated to the point of saying they're all the same, all politicians are the same, I'm done, I'm out. We need them to turn out November to vote for Jack Ciattarelli, for example, for governor of New Jersey. We need them in the midterms. I don't know if Rasmussen's projections are correct, but man, is that guy laying out some doom and gloom. He's suggesting Republicans are going to get our butts smoked in the midterms and then lose the White House in 2028. If this trend continues with the base getting very frustrated and disappointed that there's no heads on pikes, okay? No heads on pikes. And so then we're told, all right, well, we'll get the grand jury testimony to be released by this judge. We'll blame the judge, and the judge has to release all the grand jury testimony. Hopefully she will, and then we'll get some answers there in the whole Epstein thing. But Alan Dershowitz is casting doubt that we'll get answers on that. So here's a Dersh discussing that. This is cut 15 from Project Constitute on X. Take a listen.
Professor, good to have you with us, because you've got a bit of an insider look at some of this. Let's separate fact from fiction. You say there was never a client list per se, but there are other names. There's other information. Are they in the grand jury transcripts, and do you think a judge releases that?
I think the judge should release it, but they're not in the grand jury transcripts. They're sealed records by two or three federal judges in the New York courts. I've seen some of these materials. For example, there is an FBI report of interviews with alleged victims in which at least one of the victims names very important people, and the names have been redacted. I know some of the names from my investigation. For example, George Mitchell, the former senator, Bill Richardson, the former ambassador to the UN, Ehud Barak, the granddaughter of Jacques Cousteau, were all accused. Now, whether any of these people actually did anything wrong, we don't know, because we know there have been many, many false accusations. For example, a woman named Sarah Ransom filed an affidavit, and it's probably in the record, and it's probably been sealed, in which she accused Bill Clinton, Hillary Clinton, Donald Trump, Richard Branson of having sex with young people, and she said she had videotapes of this. And then after an investigation, she admitted she made up the whole story, and yet the affidavit still remains in the court record. So we have to be very careful to distinguish true accusation from false accusations, and I suspect the courts will be sensitive to that. They will not want to just produce the names of people who have been falsely accused without also producing information about the people who have falsely accused them. So this is a complex matter.
It's a complex matter. And Epstein says Ghislaine Maxwell knows everything about Epstein, as the Department of Justice is prepared to talk to her. Okay, good. So then is she going to have help from people killing herself in jail? She said, I don't want to kill myself. She's made it very, very clear. I do not want to kill myself. I have no interest in killing myself. I don't want to commit suicide. She's letting everybody know that. So hopefully no helpful jailers go and help her kill herself. Because again, if jailers help a person off themselves in jail, they've broken the number one rule. I mean, like probably the number one rule in jail, if you're a guard, is to make sure people don't fight. And there's no, you know, shower incidents and shiving in the yard and whatnot. But I would also think pretty high up there is not helping prisoners take their own lives. I would think you had a handbook, and I'm sure there is one. You flip through it, like the employee handbook. It's like, hey, congratulations, you're a jailer now. Here's all the things we expect of you. Your uniform's got to be clean and tidy, shoes shined. Oh, and don't help prisoners kill themselves. Yeah, it's probably on page one. Or if not page one, like page 25, you know, and maybe it's a situation where, you know, you check a box, you sign up for something, and then you get a recurring charge a year later, and you didn't realize you were going to get a recurring charge because you didn't really read the fine print. And then, you know, the cookies, reject all, accept all, only necessary cookies. That's getting beyond annoying when every website you go to nowadays. It's possible. Maybe the prison handbook is kind of like that. Where it's like, you know, if you really read the scroll, the whole thing all the way down to the bottom of the jailer code, it says in very fine print all the way down there, you can't help prisoners kill themselves. And you can't then blame a jailer for not knowing they were not supposed to do that. And then they all can pull the collective George Costanza, you know, if they ever get caught. Did you help Jeffrey Epstein kill himself? Should I not have done that? Was that wrong? Because I got to be honest with you. I got to plead ignorance on this one. I didn't know that was a bad thing to do. I got, you know, like, oof. You should have read the handbook. I should have. You're right. I'm going to do better next time. I promise you. This is the last time I help a high profile prisoner who may have access to our nation's secrets and may have helped blackmail some of the most influential people and possibly countries on the planet. I will do better and make sure that I don't help that person kill themselves the next time. Great. Anything else? No, we're good. We're good here. Do I get at least a unpaid day off, something? Nope. Get back to work. All right. Seems like that would kind of be a bigger deal. You know what I mean? And Alan Dershowitz isn't normally the kind of guy that would just throw those things out there and then just speculate on those things and then go, oh, I'm just making that up. You know, I mean, like, stop. Because again, how Jeffrey Epstein kills himself is always a question we don't really know because of the cameras and the 3 minutes that are missing in the camera. And then the Wired article, which, of course, says, well, we can't say for sure anything nefarious happened. We were just telling you that 3 minutes happened to be missing. Okay, well, you can't tell us in those 3 minutes that nothing bad happened either, because you don't know, because nobody knows what happened in those 3 minutes. Is that the 3 minutes that the jailers helped him kill himself? And I've seen a lot of prison movies, and in none of the movies does the prisoner, the jailer who helps the prisoner take their life in a high profile case where this guy may have the answers to our nation's secrets and may have been blackmailing people and may have worked for the Mossad, where those jailers are just, it's fine. It's all good. Simple misunderstanding here. We'll clear this up for next time. Alan Dershowitz continued as he talked about a lot of these things and, you know, said it's probably unlikely here that we'll get answers on this because anything that would be unsealed in these records is probably not going to be the kind of answers that we're looking for and what we need. I agree with him on that because I think Jeffrey Epstein is part of the intelligence community. I've always said it. I think he's an intelligence asset. I think it's why they're working so hard to protect all this. So we didn't play cut 16 yet, right? This is cut 16. All right, take a listen.
Yeah, like you said, all of those names out there could be completely innocent of anything, but it's possible that they were mentioned somewhere along the line. So just to be clear, what they've asked for, the Trump administration, those grand jury transcripts, they're separate from other information that you say is sealed. Would that have to be a separate request from someone else in order to get that information you reference?
Yes, definitely. And the information that hasn't been requested is going to be far more informative and far more relevant than the grand jury information. Grand jury information is narrowly tailored by prosecutors only to provide sufficient evidence to result in an indictment. They don't want to put a lot of material in the grand jury because that would then produced to the defendant. So what's much, much more important is discovery information, depositions, and other kinds of things that came out of the Ghislaine Maxwell case, that came out of other cases that were pending in front of federal judges. And, for example, the case involving Prince Andrew. All of that should be revealed as well. And as long as there's nothing redacted about the accuser's lack of credibility, then the public has the right to make its own decision. Just because somebody's name is mentioned doesn't really mean very much.
Okay. Now, the Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson, who is a Republican now, is shutting down the House today or Thursday. Yeah, today. I mean, he canceled votes for Thursday and sending members home for a month-long recess. The decision to move up summer recess came after Republicans lost control of the floor over bipartisan pressure to vote on releasing Epstein-related documents. Now, it's important to note, when I say bipartisan, that's because people like Jeff Van Drew and others are pushing for this, and they want the truth to come out. So that's not going to happen now, and the House is going home. So that's that, and now there'll be a big August recess starting in July. So the August recess now starts in July, and this is going to make people angry. And I don't really understand why exactly we're doing any of these things. I don't get it. And I think this is a road that is going to be very perilous for Republicans. And I'm saying this as somebody who wants to keep the majority. And I'm saying this as somebody who wants to make sure Donald Trump remains popular. And I'm saying this as somebody who wants to make sure that the Democrats don't win the House and the Senate in midterms and then wind up releasing everything and then controlling the narrative. And it looks like we're the party that engaged in a massive cover up here. So I'm saying all of these things out of a sense of I want to help here. But I feel like this is getting to the point now where we are protecting something much bigger. And I don't think it's the president. I'm not worried about him being on any of these lists or anything like this. I think it's obvious that this is an intelligence issue and it implicates a country that we're friends with. And it implicates maybe an intelligence operation in that country. And it's very obvious that that's why this is all happening. And it's frustrating to me and it's frustrating to you. And quite frankly, I don't think this frustration extends to just us. I think this frustration probably extends to a whole lot of people. So we'll see if Ghislaine Maxwell is able to actually shed some light on these things. But in the meantime, right now, at this moment, we look like the party of the cover-up. Here's President Trump saying it's appropriate for Ghislaine Maxwell to talk with the DOJ. My question is, why hasn't she yet? Cut number six.
This is something that we have to do in any case. Yeah. And certainly that
the
I don't know anything about it. They're going to what? Meet her?
Your deputy attorney general has reached out to Ghislaine Maxwell's attorney asking for a new interview.
Yeah, I don't know about it, but I think it's something that would be, sounds appropriate to do, yeah.
Do you have any concern that your deputy attorney general, as your former attorney, would be conducting the interview, given...
No, I have no concern. He's a very talented person. He's very smart. I didn't know that they were going to do it. I don't really follow that too much. It's sort of a witch hunt, just a continuation of the witch hunt. The witch hunt that you should be talking about is they caught President Obama.
It is something that we have to do.
Okay, so the problem is, though, is that if she's got things to say and these are deep national secrets here, and the Democrats use this to say Republicans are covering for him and then they wind up winning because of this, then all this is going to come out anyway. I'd much rather control the narrative. I think that's a much smarter way to handle all this. Don't you?
Thank you for listening to this episode of Red Meat. Don't forget to smash that subscribe button for your favorite tasty assortment of conservative audio. And follow your local Odyssey talk station to get shows from these hosts delivered daily wherever you get your podcasts. Until next time, stay hungry.